a friend of mine in the month of February of 1970. Had graduated early from school, went to a little town called LaPorte, Indiana. And in LaPorte, Indiana, he started church. And many students went down and they surveyed the town. They made a lot of visits together and really started out with quite a bang. And God blessed through the years. And somewhere about the year 1973-74, there was a young man who got saved. His name was Larry Delly. Larry then went off to Bible college. He felt God's call upon his life. And upon completion, he went out and bought an old school bus. Big old yellow school bus. Big old 66-passenger bus. And I met him for the very first time down at the truck stop here in town. Broke down. He called his preacher, Jack Cox, and he says, "I'm broke down. Is there anybody around here you know?" And he says, "You just happen to be where Brother Springer is." And he gave him my phone number and he called me up. And he says, "I don't know what to do." It was a year we didn't have a whole lot of money, but we had a little bit. I took down there $200 and I walked up to him and never met him in my life. Only had the recommendation of his pastor. And I gave him the check for $200. They took that and they fixed it. Got all the way to Lincoln before they needed to fix it again. And he had this great idea that if he bought a bus up there, he could drive this with all of his furniture in it. And he was headed out to a city in northern Washington. For the life of me, the name of that city is gone. Real close to Canada as you go up Interstate 5. Anybody got this map in your mind? And so he was heading to this city and thought, you know, I'll buy a bus here. We can start a bus ministry when we get up there. However, that bus had a lot of problems on the way. They did get there, started the church. And after a few years, he felt as though God was wanting him to go and to work with Brother Kenny Blue, who's also a great friend of mine. And he went down there and worked for a few years, his associate. From there, he felt God's call to head back towards Indiana and southern part of Michigan, that area up there, kind of just outside the Chicago area. And he went there, and I forget if he started a church or he took a small work. And for 30-some years, Larry pastored and worked there and in other places I mentioned. Never one time was he full-time in a church. All those years, he worked another job. And had a servant's heart. Loved the fellow. Found out just 3 or 4 years ago that when my son-in-law and my daughter went to Pensacola, they ran into a fellow who's become their best friend. His name is Larry Delly. He's almost 65. I think he's just a year or two younger than myself. He might be 63. And he's working as maintenance there at the school, still laboring for the Lord. And now has got one of the Sunday school classes with the adults down there. And through the years, I've had a lot of different touches with Larry. Brother Kimmel used to go and be with him, and I'd hear different things about him. Larry is one of those guys I'd look at and I'd say, Larry's got a servant's heart. You know, that's something that we need. I want us to look at two people in the Word of God that I believe had that kind of heart. I want you to turn the Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 2, book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 21. Book of Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 21. I'm going to read several verses. I want to read to you about two individuals. One of them's name is Simeon, the other one's Anna. And I want us to think about these two individuals tonight. Again, in verse number 21. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." That means the firstborn. Notice verse 24. "To offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Can I stop a moment? Can you imagine holding Jesus in your arms? And now God using him to offer prophetic words. Verse 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you today. We have the privilege to be able to read this, your holy word. Father, thank you for giving it to us. Spirit of God, thank you that you are the author, the administrator, the revealer of this, your word. Work in and through us tonight, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Something very amazing to me is that in the midst of the temple, we find, along with those who are appointed priests, those whom God has directed to be there, are these two individuals. They don't have a title. They don't have any official duty. There's nothing laid out in Scripture for them that they are to do. But I believe that you would agree with me tonight. They are servants. They had purpose. They had reason to be there in that temple. Simeon is spoken of as being a man who was not only just, but very devout. He was a man who understood that there was a Messiah coming that would bring consolation. There would be consoling of these people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now perhaps he thought it might be consoling as they were under the rulership of Rome. But there's something far greater than that which is consoling from the leaders of a land, and that is from the Satan and all of his cohorts, as you and I can have salvation. And here's a man who was able to give a prophetic statement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We find that these two individuals no doubt had served a great long time. Anna is said to be 84 years old. She was 84 years of age. She had been a widow since the 7th year of her marriage. And during this time, evidently, she had grown to love God more and more. Evidently, it tells us here that she was there day and night, evidently because there were some priest quarters within the outer court of the temple. They must have allowed her a small place to sleep. She was a prophetess. She was not one who, as we think of, would prophesy and tell forth things that were not known before, but simply one who would prophesy or teach of the Word of God. And especially then to women. Our objective tonight is not to teach on that, but we need to understand something, and that is that a woman is not to usurp the authority over man. But there is position for women, especially with other women. And we find this lady in this position of seeking to just live for God. By the way, she may have been old and she might have served a long time, but her time wasn't up yet. Yeah? I remember many years ago, I heard the story of Eon Paisley. Anybody know who Eon Paisley is? My wife in Virginia. He is a man in Ireland who has for years led really what we might call the Protestant movement, as there's been all this conflict and fighting with the Catholics and the Protestants. And he was never one to be involved in the actual fighting, but there was always the ecclesiastical problems that needed to be dealt with. He is hated tremendously by those who were in opposition. Matter of fact, they tried to kill him many times. And Mr. Paisley said on one occasion, "When God's done with me, an assassin's bullet will find my forehead. But until God's done with me, I'm going to keep on laboring for the Lord." Amen. I think there's a tremendous shame in our nation. I believe that shame is that we have the idea that retirement means that we retire from God. You know, I believe that retirement means God just gave you a full-time job in the ministry. Gave you opportunity to give more than you've ever had in the past. And a privilege to be able to do what she was doing especially, and that is to be able to pray and to fast and to seek after God. How we need those kind of giants. And so as I look at these two individuals, I find two that they were just servants. While so many people want to be chiefs, here were two people that just said, "Hey, I want to do whatever it is that needs to be done." And I believe God blesses them abundantly. And I want to share with you a few of the things that I see from this text that God, I believe, blessed them with. First of all, I'd like for you to see in verse number 34 and verse number 35, I've got to go back to verse 26 first. It says, "It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Here's a man who is serving God. He understands that there is a Savior coming, and God revealed to him that he was going to be alive when he came. What a wonderful thing. Amen. And so God gave him a revelation. God helped him to understand something. Verse 34 and 35, we find that he gives some prophetic utterances concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not go into those, but we do see that God gave him revelations. The book of John chapter 7 verse 17 says, "If any man will do his will," if we're doing the will of God, we are his servants. Amen. "He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And the Lord teaches us, hey, if we are in the business of seeking to do the will of God, God is in the business of showing us His will, of revealing things to us. Amos says it so succinctly in chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets." Why would God show His wonderful secrets in the Word of God to one who doesn't want to do the Word of God, who doesn't want to be His servant? The secret of the Lord, the psalmist says, is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. And so God, I believe, in His wondrous grace, to those who just simply want to serve Him, is in the business of given revelations. So what do you mean, preacher? God's Word is wonderful. Amen. And you know, when we pick it up in the morning, we open its pages and God speaks to our heart out of a verse, that's a revelation. That is God giving you something that you need for that day. That's God showing you something that is absolutely necessary for you because you have a job to do and He's encouraging you and speaking to you and He is seeking to help you along the way. Not only does God bless them with revelation, but notice something else, and I would just describe it this way, God blesses them with recognition. I don't mean that people recognize them, but that they have recognition that God is working. Notice verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us now thy servant depart in peace. He has seen the Christ. He understands, hey, God is working. God sent His Son. And he had the privilege to see that at work. Have you ever prayed and asked God to do something in your life when God answered your prayer and you told some family members, God answered my prayer, and they said, oh, that just happened. They're so encouraging, aren't they? But what they don't know is they don't know. They do not have a clue. Why? Because they're not servants of God. But a servant can recognize that God is indeed working in their life. Notice something else. Verse 38. And I believe this is very important. Verse 38, notice what it says. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. God blesses them with rewarding words. God blesses them with a thankful heart. You know, I believe servants of God, He gives them revelation. I believe servants of God, He gives them things to recognize that what He is doing is real. That He is indeed on the throne and doing His work. But God also gives to His servants a thankful heart, appreciation for what is taking place. I thought about this. If you want accolades doing the work of God, you better do it in public or you won't get it. We so often in our lives, we're not servants. As a result, we're not thankful for the things that take place around about us. Appreciation and thankfulness is horribly missing in our culture. I remember years ago a certain store came to our town. They said a helpful smile in every aisle. And it's almost become a frown is our crown. Get off of our ground. No offense to our fellow workers who are here. Chris is shaking his head at me. Oh, man. You have never done that to me, and I thank you. Amen. How appreciative are we? Really. In our society, I tell you what, things get done for folks, they never even say thank you, don't even appreciate the least little things. And you know, we look at society, but we need to look at ourselves. And we look and ask ourselves the same thing. My kids grew up and we had many people throughout those days that taught them in Sunday school and school. I don't remember a handful of times. I really don't remember a handful of times that I said to them, thank you. I really don't remember that. Julia taught in our school for 3-4 years. How many years was it? 4? 3? You think you have dementia. I can't remember either. I've been working on this thing for a long time of Alzheimer's. I'm trying to get it. It's coming.
don't know if I've ever said thank you to you. You know what I mean? Virginia, I don't know if I've ever said thank you to you. All the things you've done. I hope I have. I look back there at that lady who used to have red hair. There's not much red left, is there, LaDonna? I don't know. I think I've said thank you a few times, but, you know, we're not appreciative. I'll tell you what. We walk in the bathroom and there's a roll of paper that's run out. We're upset. But we don't appreciate day after day after day that there was a full roll there. Or one that was on the stool behind waiting your arrival. You know? I wonder how many actually know who mows the grass. I wonder, what do we know of all the things that take place? Have you ever seen light bulbs out in here? Here's what I hear. Preacher, somebody needs to get those light bulbs. And somebody does. But we're not appreciative of all these things. We need to be that kind of people. Servants, I believe, have appreciative. Here's a woman says she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Notice next. And spake of Him to all that look for redemption in Israel. Not as God bless us with revelations and recognition and with the rewarding words, but God blesses them with what I just describe as redemptive lips. God gives to His servants the ability to speak forth the truth of God. To be able to tell somebody about the Savior. Because that's what servants do. Too many times we want to be served rather than be a servant. Too many times we want somebody else to do the job than ourselves. What kind of heart do you have? Larry Daly has got a servant's heart. Here's a man who pastored for well over 30 years. Never ever drew a paycheck for it. Always worked a job and supported himself. Never got to the place where the church could handle that for him. But he had servant's heart. You won't read about him in the sword of the Lord. You'll not hear his name amongst preachers. Because he didn't do a great man of God's job. Or did he? Or is he? The Apostle Paul, as he wrote so many of his letters, he simply described himself as this: Paul, a servant of God. He was an apostle. But I believe he thought more of the title servant than anything else. Because that is his Lord. And he's in the place of service. Father, tonight, give us servants' hearts. Father, we could look at so many tonight who had these kind of hearts. Lord, you have them scattered throughout the pages of your book. And our Heavenly Father, you have given us a book that portrays Jesus Christ as a servant. We see Him as a king. We see Him as a man. We see Him as God. But You've given us the book of Mark that we might see Him as a servant. Serving. And God, we know tonight You bless servants. Place that in our hearts. Oh God, give me that kind of heart. Help us come down out of the sycamore tree and serve Jesus. Work in our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name.